On a Monday, you're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So now that the two-year state budget is signed into law, we're looking at legislation in the works, from a nonpartisan redistricting commission to electric scooter regulation. Scooters first. Have you ever used one? Would you be interested in the option? Do you think having electric scooters in addition to public transportation is a good opportunity? And then election maps coming up after that. What do you think about how Wisconsin's legislative districts are drawn? How should we approach the process in 2020? Would you like lawmakers to ensure nonpartisan redistricting? Do you think that's possible? Join in 800-642-1234. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol reporter. She co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So it wouldn't be the State Capitol Report if we didn't talk about transportation in one form or another. So scooters representing today. Governor signed a bill regarding electric scooters. What does this bill do?
So basically what this bill does is allow local governments to regulate these electric scooters that folks might be familiar with from trips to, say, Washington, D.C. or other kind of tourist cities around the country. They're those little electric scooters you put 1 foot on or 2 feet on and zoom down the sidewalk. They do have a speed limit. I think they can only go up to 20 miles an hour. They can only weigh up to 100 pounds. So there are some specifications of what these scooters can look like from the state. But in terms of how local governments want to regulate them, that's totally up to them.
Well, let's hear what Governor Evers said about this bill.
The ability to regulate scooters locally is critical to success and public acceptance of this new transportation option going forward.
So why is regulation so critical here?
Well, I think what we're seeing in cities like Milwaukee, for example, is that there was one company called Bird Rides that had already offered some electric scooter options in the city before this type of regulation was in place. And they the city actually filed a lawsuit to have those scooters removed because they weren't authorized under state law. State law didn't exist yet. That company has expressed interest. They said they're going to be coming back now that this kind of regulatory framework is in place. We know the city of Madison has also expressed some interest in rolling out something now that there's that kind of legal backbone for how these things should work.
Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett also spoke about the scooters.
We want this to be a city where there are many modes of transportation. And this is another form of transportation that some individuals want to partake in here in the city of Milwaukee.
So in Milwaukee, how could scooters be an asset?
Well, I think it's just another way of people who are visiting the city or experiencing a certain part of the city to get around a little bit more expeditiously. I remember when we were hearing a public hearing on this bill kind of early in this legislative process, they said that most of these trips, I think, are less than a mile that these scooters are used for. Mm-hmm. So they're really kind of for these like little micro trips where you're going, perhaps just going around downtown, exploring something a little bit. If they were being used, for example, in Madison, maybe you're on the Capitol Square and going to the UW campus, something like that. But maybe you're not feeling like walking that distance, or a bike might seem like a little bit too much, either too big or, too much to handle for whatever reason. It just gives folks another option for getting more quickly from point A to point B.
I recall one of the issues with the Bird scooters was people were just kind of discarding them, like not docking them in their specific place. Mm-hmm. Is that still an issue?
I think that's a major concern of some people who pushed back on the potential for these scooters. In places like Madison and Milwaukee, you do see that in cities where they are in place. People can kind of leave them where they want to leave them. Groups of them will sort of magnetize to each other, and then you have a cluster of scooters on the sidewalk. Not the greatest for pedestrians that are trying to walk to certain locations. So I think that's something that cities are going to have to navigate and try to figure out ways around as they implement this.
Talking with Laurel White, she is WPR State Capitol reporter. We're getting a roundup of political news on this State Capitol report. What do you think about how Wisconsin's legislative districts are drawn? How should we approach the process in 2020? And would you like lawmakers to ensure nonpartisan redistricting? Is it possible? Join in at 800-642-1234. Laurel, the governor signed two bills last week, and one of them addresses step therapy and the effect on access to prescription drugs. Can you walk us through what that bill will do?
So for folks that aren't familiar, step therapy is essentially a requirement that individuals who are getting a prescription medication from their doctor try, at least attempt to take the lowest cost drug first. So they sort of step, if you will, between different prescription medications until they get to one that works for them. If the cheapest one works, that's great. But what proponents of this legislation said is sometimes patients are forced to go through these failed medicines, failed for them, until they get to something that works when their doctor knows that something a little bit further down the line is more likely to work for them. So this new law that was just signed by the governor would allow some exemptions to that process. It would allow some people to get around these steps if they feel like that's not going to work for them. It also increases transparency as to how some insurance companies develop step therapy protocols. So it just kind of shines a little bit of light on this process and offers people a little bit of a way around it to the extent that the state can.
Well, moving on to redistricting, Wisconsin's legislative districts have been called gerrymandered. Some Democratic lawmakers are attempting to try to figure that out. Here is Senator Dave Hansen on why he thinks it's important.
You know, growing up, we're all taught that voting is the cornerstone of our democracy and that every vote counts. But in states like Wisconsin, where the legislature draws the maps, that's not the case.
So tell us about what Hansen is sponsoring here. What is he proposing?
So this is a bill that Senator Hansen actually first rolled out in 2012, pretty shortly after Republicans drew the current legislative maps in 2011. What it would do is create a system in Wisconsin that's pretty similar to the system that's in Iowa right now. It's sometimes called the Iowa model for redistricting nerds out there. I'm sure they're familiar with that term, that phrase. What they do in Iowa is they have a nonpartisan commission that draws these maps. Then they go to the legislature for approval. They get three shots at the legislature to pass. So once they're drawn by the commission, they go, lawmakers can say, I kind of want some changes, throw it back.
Oh, they can make tweaks.
They can. They actually send it back to the commission. The commission makes those tweaks, goes back to the legislature three times. So that would be a very similar process in Wisconsin. That commission would be a 5-member commission, and those 5 members would be appointed by the legislative leaders in the state. The maps themselves, though, would be drawn by, I'm sure you've heard me say this a million times over the course of our interviews, the Legislative Reference Bureau.
Uh-huh.
Those folks that offer information about bills and research, they would actually draw the maps. They're the nonpartisan office that serves the legislature, overseen by this commission. The maps would go before the public in a variety of public hearings and then go to the legislature. So what Hansen is saying about this bill is that it would have, obviously a lot of parties involved, these different entities, and a lot of transparency and public input.
And if the bill doesn't make it into law, what does the process of redrawing state maps in 2020 look like?
So the census is in 2020. The maps mm-hmm. will be drawn in 2021. It is going to be interesting if this legislation isn't adopted because we will still have Democratic Governor Tony Evers in office, and he will have the power to veto the maps drawn by the Republican-controlled legislature if he doesn't believe that they're fair. So that could set us up for some delays, some challenges, some legal maneuverings, some complications that we've sometimes become familiar with in Wisconsin, things being challenged like that.
We're getting a roundup of state capitol developments, looking at legislation in progress, what's been signed, with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. On the lottery, what are your thoughts on anonymity for Wisconsin lottery winners? Would you play more if it was guaranteed, or do you like to know who the big winners are? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it is a roundup of state politics. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So now that the state budget is signed into law, we're looking at bills in the works and the state's general fund outlook heading into the next budget, into 2021. What questions or thoughts do you have about Governor Evers' budget vetoes? Do you think the Wisconsin governor's veto pen is too powerful? Would you support a constitutional amendment to restrict it? Join in at 800-642-1234. And Laurel White is our guide. She is WPR State Capitol Reporter, and she stays with us. So before we move on, Laurel, it looks like we're going to circle back for just a moment to electric scooters, bringing in Larry from Sun Prairie. Hi, Larry. What are your thoughts?
Oh, hi. I haven't heard anything on Segways or mini Segways, which are just as, I think they're better than scooters. I have a mini, and I scoot in. I have a hip, kind of a hip problem, and I think of it as like more like an electric, you know, wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except
just a little
you're standing.
More modern, but sure. I don't need a wheelchair, but, you know, it gets, I don't have to walk 12 blocks to the Capitol, and I park outside because I work down there occasionally. But I don't know if this bill covers like Segways.
Great question, Larry. Thanks so much. Do we know, Laura?
Well, I think that if they meet the requirements that are outlined in the bill for the scooters, which is that 100-pound weight limit and that 20-mile-per-hour speed limit, I would assume that they're covered. I think there are some different specifications for the body of the vehicle as well. There might be something in there to do with handlebars that I would assume. I think Segways have similar handlebars to scooters.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that would definitely be something worth looking into.
Let's look at the veto amendment. Governor Evers recently signed the state's budget, and Wisconsin's governor has expansive veto powers. Republican lawmakers have proposed this constitutional amendment to address that. So what would this amendment do?
So this amendment would bar the governor from using his veto pen to increase state spending in any way, which is something that we actually saw Governor Evers do when he partially vetoed the state budget. One of his 78 partial vetoes was one that increased state school spending by about $65 million. So some Republican lawmakers were pretty concerned by that. They said that shouldn't be something the governor should be able to do, and thus introduced this constitutional amendment pretty quickly.
But didn't the lame duck session curb the powers of the governor? Would this add to that?
So this would be another way in which lawmakers are working to curb the power of the governor. Yeah, this would be taking away something that governors in Wisconsin have been able to do for quite a while. And according to a memo from the Legislative Reference Bureau that I just talked about a couple minutes ago, all recent governors in the state of Wisconsin have actually used their veto pen to increase state spending. So this isn't something that's unique to one party or the other or one governor or another.
Has the power of the veto been changed in the past in any way?
It has. So the process for changing the governor's veto power has to go through a constitutional amendment, an amendment to the state constitution. And the way that you do that is you introduce a resolution in the state legislature. It has to pass two consecutive sessions and then be approved by a statewide voter referendum. So that's happened twice in the past 30 years. One time was in 1990 when the so-called Vanna White veto was taken away. Mm-hmm. That's the ability of the governor to take out letters and words to create new words. And then in 2008, the Frankenstein veto was taken away. That is the ability to take out words in sentences to create a new sentence out of two previous sentences.
So there have been changes to the governor's ability to veto in the past. Does this ebb and flow? Is this something that we're seeing based on who is in power?
You know, I think it's just something that it's clearly brought up when a governor uses his veto pen in a way that rubs the legislature the wrong way. And it has to be pretty consistent, obviously, because that's why these requirements are in place, right? It has to pass these two consecutive sessions of the legislature, and then it has to go to a statewide referendum. So it has kind of different levels of approval that are required, which is meant to add to kind of the seriousness of it, amending the state constitution.
Well, let's talk lottery for a moment. A bill was recently proposed that, if passed, would change the practices of the Wisconsin lottery. Can you tell us about the motivation behind this bill?
So this is a bill that is sponsored. One of the sponsors is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and he said that he introduced the bill in response to a West Allis man winning the Powerball jackpot earlier this year. You might remember that. I think the jackpot was $768 million, something like that. Speaker Voss said that that individual experienced a little bit of harassment, folks wanting to get in touch with him and be involved in his life. So the speaker wanted to give folks an option, if they wanted, to remain anonymous after they accept their lottery winnings in Wisconsin, to hopefully avoid that kind of thing if they want to.
Do we know the path for this bill? What happens next?
So this is pretty early in the legislative process. It's just getting these public hearings, and then it'll get the votes in the committees and then go to the floor. We do know that it's looking pretty positive. Obviously, it has the endorsement of the speaker in the assembly, so its odds there are pretty good. And we know that Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald is on board, too. So I think the only obstacle for this one, at least as of right now, would be time, just getting it to fit into the legislative schedule and make its way through the whole process before the end of this legislative session.
Let's bring in Kenneth now from Janesville. Good morning, Kenneth.
Good morning. Katie, you said the or asked the question, would more people play if it was not guaranteed? I mean, the lottery, is not it guaranteed now? I mean, isn't that $768 million guaranteed to be paid?
I think, Kenneth, in terms of your anonymity, if you could remain, if people wouldn't know your identity and if that was guaranteed, I think that was the purpose of that. So, but thank you so much for calling in about that. Let's take another call now. Let's go to Ray in Milwaukee. Ray, hi.
Good morning. I heard yesterday on NPR that Tony Evers just signed a bill that prevents townships or cities in the state of Wisconsin from deciding whether or not they want to have 5G. And he said, we can't stay behind. I voted for Tony Evers, and I'm just stunned that he is doing this power grab. It should be up to each township or city whether or not they want to expose their residents to what 5G may or may not do to us as far as our health goes.
Ray, thanks for the call. What do we know about broadband expansion right now in the legislature?
So basically what this bill would do is it would allow the deployment of 5G-enabled cellular antennas around Wisconsin. This is something that I think all of our Midwestern neighbors have done thus far, and that's something that the governor pointed out when he signed this legislation. He said that this was bringing Wisconsin in line with the rest of the region in terms of the technology. I do know that there have been some folks that have been concerned about the potential health effects of 5G technology. I think the antennas are closer to people, and some people have raised concerns about the effect of that on health.
Let's go to Marcus now in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hi, good morning. So my comment is about the Powerball. Basically, I feel that it's absolutely critical to maintain transparency that the winners are divulged because I believe it's pretty similar in most other states. And if you don't want to be harassed, then don't play the Powerball, or else get an attorney once, you know, if you have a winning ticket, and you can actually hire a law firm, and the law firm can act as the
intermediary.
Yeah, correct. And then so you can stay more shielded, and then should someone harass you, you have a law firm who's right there, who's been on board the whole time to protect you and, you know, protect your rights, which, I mean, winning that kind of money, you definitely want to have some attorneys and accountants around.
Marcus, thanks so much for the call. Any thoughts there, Laurel, on that?
Well, I think that, you know, that's a big part of, obviously, transparency of these individuals that win the Powerball. The state lottery pointed out that it's helpful to them in some ways when the names are disclosed. They said that this was interesting to me and wasn't something that I had thought of before, that disclosing the names can actually prevent lottery fraud. They said in some cases in other states, knowing the name of the person who won the lottery helps them uncover insiders within the lottery system who have tipped off friends or family members or helped them in some way from the inside. So obviously knowing a name is helpful there. They also talked about just the publicity of someone winning the lottery, this big jackpot, in terms of, you know, getting more people to buy tickets.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol reporter, and she co-hosts the WPR Politics Podcast. Coming up, you have a line to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes at 800-642-1234. We're catching up halfway through his first year in office, talking about the state budget, taking stock of other developments inside the governor's office. Stay with us. The State Capitol Report continues right after this news update here on the Ideas Network.